what the hardship for your variance is, and that is the basis on which we get to determine whether or not we can grant a variance or not. That is a city ordinance. If you do not know what the ordinance says from review, or if you haven't been here before, there is a white piece of paper on the table over here next to the entrance that has the variance outlined, and I'd suggest going and reading it so that you're prepared when you come to the podium to speak. Okay, first up is the minutes. Were there any comments on the minutes from last month?
I would move their approval with one addition. At the meeting, we made some significant comments regarding outgoing members, and I would like it to be documented in the minutes. At least something to the effect of outgoing board members Kristen Grove and Charlie Van Beek were recognized by fellow board members and the city staff for their outstanding years of service, if that could be added to the minutes.
Is that a motion?
That would be a motion.
Okay, with that a motion, we need a second.
Second.
All right, motion second. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
No? All right, that motion passes, which is great. Thank you, David. Real quickly, we do have two new board members this month that have just joined us, Grant Rosenberg and Christina. Christina, what's your last name?
Bowler.
They just joined us, so welcome to them briefly. And Christina, do we need to actually make an official motion to make me chair for January?
I would. The administrative rules say January, so if you wanted to do maybe a motion to reaffirm the appointment of Daniel Odell as chairperson for 2020.
Okay.
Something along those lines.
I move that we reaffirm Daniel as a chair for this coming year.
Brilliant.
Not
really
that quickly.
This current year.
Yeah. Current year. Yes.
Can we do for future years as well?
Yes.
Let's not beat him up too badly.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. All right. First up, item 1A20VA. If the applicant on this would please come forward. Thomas Cadwell, 4204 Bruin Road. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Will Doyle for Thomas Caldwell Architect, 6500 Paper Mill Drive.
Thank you. And tell us about your variance.
We're basically requesting a variance to take an existing gravel lot at the Inskip Pool and Park and convert it to a paved parking lot and driveway in roughly the same position that it's in.
Okay. Thank you very much. And can you tell us about your hardship request, please?
Well,
what is the hardship?
Just the general topography of the site.
I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
The general topography of the site that would prevent moving the driveway and parking lot any further away.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. I need to ask, I forgot to ask, are there any staff comments on this variance?
The only staff comment is there's no reduction in the screening materials.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And if I may, I'm going to recuse myself. Our company may be the construction manager at risk on the project.
Okay. So. Mr. Caldwell, thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this variance? All right. Seeing none, any board discussion or questions?
Well, a question of clarification. You have room to move the parking lot, but the parking lot is there, the gravel base, and you want to just pave where the gravel parking lot is now. Is that?
Yes, that's what we want to do. I'm not sure that there's room to move the parking lot, but what we want to do is to pave an existing parking lot. It's about four parking places. It's just the parking that up in the top right corner, top left corner, for the one picnic pavilion there, right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the driveway is just connecting to the existing parking lot.
Okay. And Mr. Caldwell, this lot is sloping that direction. Is that correct?
It's sloping down from the road into the park.
Okay. Generally, this request makes sense to me based on the topography and the shape of the parcel, but are there any other questions or
And it needs to come into compliance with the ADA.
Correct. So this, it does. It brings it into ADA compliance.
I move that we approve.
I second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further comment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next item would be 1C20VA, 1610 Forest Avenue. Is there someone here to speak to that? Please state your name and your address for the record.
John Holmes, 5914 Gray Gables Drive.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, John. Please tell us about your variance and the hardship associated.
The variance is to rebuild the existing house or rebuild the house there at 1610 Forest Avenue. It's in the NC1 overlay. It's also a small lot of record. It's only 38 feet wide. And they're rebuilding the exact dimensions of what was previously there.
All right, thank you. I need to ask for staff comments.
No staff comments.
All right, thank you very much. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this? All right, no one. Thank you. Is there any staff comment or board comment or question? Generally, this is a small piece of property. And historically, we have looked favorably on variances with small lots like this.
This is going to go through the Historic Zoning Commission?
Yes, sir.
For a certificate of appropriateness?
Yeah. Any comment or question? Do I have a motion from anyone?
I move that we approve the request based on the small lot width.
Second. Any further comment or question? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you,
John. All right, 1D2VA. It's 3848 Tallahuna Avenue. Please state your name and address for the record.
Will Robinson, 1248 North Shorewood Lane, Caryville, Tennessee.
All right, Will. Tell us about the variance, please, and what the hardship is.
This is an existing house. I'm guessing it's like a 1920s construction, 1930s. They'd like to add a garage to the property. And the hardships in this case is the narrow lot width, and it's also topography. And if you look at topographic maps, you may say, no, it's not a problem. But if you see kind of behind the house, that's a rock outcropping. So, one of my first suggestions to the architect is, can we put it behind the house or something? And it's just not an option. So originally they came to me and we're going to be 6 inches off the property line. So I said, I don't think that's going to fly. I don't know how you could even build it. So they're actually going to take up some of the laundry room, at extra expense and kind of losing some interior space to get it a less of encroachment in the setback. So.
Okay, thank you. I just remembered I need to ask for staff comments.
Yeah, this is more of a public service announcement to you. If you're less than 5 foot from a property line, it's going to require 1 hour fire separation. But that's on the building side. Other than that, no comments.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it. We appreciate your consideration.
Okay. I need to ask if there's anyone here in opposition to this variance. All right. Questions and comments from the board?
Well, my first thought was, why don't you move it to the back of the house? And you've explained that there's
the rock outcropping. It's not just a matter of the topography, but worse than that. So in light of that, I make a motion that we approve this.
A motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, a motion is second. Is there any other comment or discussion? None? All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, opposed?
No.
No. Motion carries 4-1.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I voted aye on that one. All right. Next application is 1E20VA, 6907 Stone Mill Drive. Is there anyone here to speak to that? None. Okay. All right. Well, real quickly, is there any staff comments on this one?
No comments.
Okay. With no one here,
I move we table it to the end of the meeting.
We can do that or postpone. We can table it to the end of the meeting.
You certainly can. Okay. If the applicant's not here, you can also postpone. Just one thing I want to note is that a motion to postpone will need to include the date of the February meeting specifically in that motion.
Okay. I would second to postpone to the end of the meeting if the board's in agreement. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
No? None? Motion carries. We'll move that to the end and come back to that. Let's move on to 1F20VA. That's a series of addresses there on Clinch Avenue and 11th Street. Someone is here to speak to that. Name and address for the record, please.
Yes, Benjamin Mullins, 550 West Main Street, Suite 500, here for the applicant.
Thank you, sir. And I need to ask for staff comments on this, please.
Yes, sir. You've heard requests about this property in the past. Some variances were approved, others were denied. What you're hearing today is in response to the denied variances from last month, where they shrunk the building and reduced the lot coverage, pulling it away from the alley.
Okay. Thank you. And tell us about the variance, please.
Yes, as Mr. Aarons stated, there's been quite a bit of history on this. We first began talking with codes about this request back in the summer. We actually went through a pre-submittal review process where we can get everybody together to talk about, you know, what are our options, here's what we want to do, you know, and get some feedback from that. You know, one of the questions in the meeting, the pre-meeting, was do we explore rezoning. We did talk to both Mr. Prechko, Mr. Reynolds, and Mr. Green, Executive Director Green, about potentially rezoning this. Let me note, there are going to be two speakers on this potentially. I have the architect that may be able to address some of the technical issues as well.
Okay.
We were discouraged from seeking a rezoning because of its location. It would require either in the office zone, with the O1 zone, which it's currently situated, would require various variances, which we are now seeking, or it would require rezoning to commercial, which would reduce the number of variances, not eliminate them. But there was a lot of resistance to potentially putting commercial zoning on that side of Clinch, close to Fort Sanders. And so we did not feel that the rezoning would be the best option, so we began the process of looking at you know, what variances would be required. We were initially here in October. We attended the pre-meeting in October, listened to staff comments, listened to comments from the board at that time, and elected to postpone it until November. At that time, we took the feedback we heard from staff and from this board and revised the seven variances that we had requested. One of them was postponed further because we were waiting on some traffic impact analysis, I believe, on with regard to the site distance between the driveway. The other six were voted on during that November meeting. Four of them were approved and two were denied. And so we're here with a revision for the two that were denied. Again, having a conversation, trying to figure out the best way we can minimize the impact and still develop the property. Hardships, we've talked about hardships in the past, and I know you said to avoid comments that have been presented to the board before, but just briefly, you know, this is a series of parcels that we have an option to acquire. It is the remaining parcels on that block that's beside the Four Point Hotel. We can't acquire any more land than what is there, and so we're limited to these parcels and what we can develop. The O1 zoning does allow there to be a hotel development. We initially looked at what was approved for the Four Points and have been walking it back from there. What we are proposing is substantially less than what Four Points has. Apparently there were variances provided to Four Points with regard to lot coverage and setback. I have not seen those in the record, but there were building permits issued and there was a use on review approved that was contingent upon the variances, so I can only assume that those variances were granted. What was denied last time, we were asking for the setback for the alley to be from 15 foot to zero, which was in compliance with what was already there with the Four Points, the adjacent property, and we're asking for the lot coverage to be increased from 35% to 85%. I believe the Four Points lot coverage is 95%. And one of the issues with this, and Mr. Randolph can address it more thoroughly than I could, Four Points, their lot coverage is the entire hotel. They built the parking garage on top or below the hotel. Our parking garage is off to the side. There's some landscaping and curbing around that, but you know, there's a little bit of a cantilever of our hotel over the parking garage, but the majority of the lot coverage is actually the parking garage. It's 48%. The actual hotel is only 27%. And there are some topographical issues. It does slope from north to south and I believe, I think west to east, if I don't have it backwards. That required us to do the parking garage kind of off to the side a little bit. Mr. Randolph can explore that more, but that's why we had to kind of to push the parking garage off to the side, which addressed some of the lot coverage issues. The setback from the alley, we'd previously requested zero. We've changed that to 5. That is identical to the setbacks that we were granted, a variance we were granted for Clinch 11th and 12th. So, you know, we have already applied for use on review. It is scheduled to be heard at the February 13 Planning Commission meeting, but we need to get through these variances first. So, we've tried to do a good job. Mr. Patel, the owner, has developed several hotels in this area. He does a very good job. He's always worked well with the city, and I think the history has shown we've tried to do everything we can to minimize the impact of this development while still being able to get a hotel approved in a zone where this use is allowed. So okay. If Mr. Randolph has anything to add, I would turn it over to him.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Name and address for the record, please, sir.
Good afternoon. Mark Randolph, Randolph Architecture, 550 West Main, Suite 725, Knoxville.
Thank you.
I think Ben described what's occurred in the past very well. The only thing that I'd like to add about the site considerations and the configuration that we went with, as he stated, we did meet with the planning department. We had discussions on what we thought would be the best. One of those points or topics was what we did on the west side of the site toward the Fort Sanders neighborhood and the consideration of the orientation of the footprint of the building and the hotel. The owner and us agreed that the best orientation was a north-south orientation along 11th Street, so that at least half of the rooms and half of the hotel looked toward the park as a green space, as well as running the hotel north to south. It reduced the footprint overall, but it considered the neighborhood association or the neighborhood and the lower parking garage and deck to the west side or bordering Fort Sanders. It also, the site with the topo and the grades that we had to work with, Ben is correct. It does slope north to south and it does slope west to east. So with the existing topo conditions, the parking garage and deck is below the street level of Clinch. So again, very limited, very little impact toward the Fort Sanders area, which is what the planning department had indicated that they preferred, and if they had a recommendation, they would want to go that route. And so that's another reason why we chose kind of the design, the location of the building, the footprint of the building versus the parking deck and the garage and the location of those. We also were able to kind of enhance to get into the two variances that we're asking for today. The lot coverage, what we were able to do is reduce the footprint of the hotel and the footprint of the parking garage. And on the screen, you can see where the public alley runs across from our property to Four Points. There's a 5-foot setback that runs all the way across from 11th Street to 12th Street. So not only did the parking garage shrink, but the building shrank in a north to south direction, as you can see. The green is the green space. Also, to help the lot coverage and reduce that, in the upper left-hand corner at the intersection of 12th and Clinch, we were able to erode that parking deck back to a point where the city engineering department, if you'll recall, not all five were here at the time, but three of you were. We had three parking spaces, and we went to 5 feet of Clinch Avenue. Now, the city didn't like the three parking spaces because of the possibility of those cars backing into the lane coming into the site. So what we did is to help visibility, to help reduce the topo as far as the parking deck and any site walls there, we eroded that back and diminished that, which helps significantly with the lot coverage and the visibility on that corner for traffic approaching or turning. We also, through the planning discussions, Clinch Avenue is a little bit wider where the name Clinch Avenue occurs. If you go back toward the east in the intersection with 11th Street, the street gets a little bit wider. Planning didn't have any issues, or they said, we'll leave it up to you to continue the curb line straight or to just leave it back. What we are proposing here, as you can see, is that the curb would continue straight across the entire lot depth along Clinch Avenue for two reasons: to help increase the pedestrian cross traffic and plazas because of the UT traffic that we have there, walking traffic, as well as we can get some landscape along that area, as you see by the trees and the buffer with the planters. So we think that that enhances the plaza and the streetscape along Clinch Avenue.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Any questions that I...
We'll ask questions in 1 second. I need to ask real quick if there are opponents to this. Anyone to speak in opposition? No, there are not. Okay, great. Questions and comments by the board? Mr. Randolph, we know you all have been here three times so far, so thanks for coming back. And
well, again, as I stated in the December meeting, we appreciate those comments made by you as the board, as well as the city planning and engineering department. We tried to take all that into consideration, and we do believe that we have enhanced the property and the design greatly in the last 3 months. So thank you for your comments.
One question I have real quick is just looking at, so this deck I've been trying to wrangle exactly how that parking works, but looking at one of your sections, it appears that most of that deck is all that underground.
It is below grade, yes. So you come in on Clinch Avenue at street elevation, and those two entry points, well, I'd say both entry points and that exit point is on grade. And the most western entry is a little bit higher than the one in the center of the site. But you come in to a platform or an elevation that's on grade with the main level of the building, and then we start dropping down. And we're able to do that because of the current topography sloping toward the south. So yes, the parking deck garage would be below grade.
So this perspective is if I'm standing really what's behind the building, like down Clinch Street, is that
correct? This is
that the alley, or is that the...
This is the alley.
That's the alley perspective.
Okay. So you can kind of see 12th Street, and you can kind of see the main building floor elevation. And as you can see, the parking deck garage wall is very low, bordering the neighborhood. And that garage goes below the street. There, we also did an elevation of section, yes, along the 12th Street, which is what you see there.
That's 12th Street, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So you'll see four points to your right, and then the alley, and then the back of the building, and to the right, far right, is Clinch Avenue. And that's where we come off to that deck or parking garage.
And you said the hotel itself is 27% of that coverage.
Yes, the footprint of the hotel, the building, for the whole lot coverage is only 27%.
Okay.
To meet the city requirements with parking, the parking garage and deck occupies 48% of that number.
Okay. So if it wasn't for the garage, you wouldn't be asking for the... I'm just making sure I understand this right. Without the garage, there wouldn't be a need for a variance on the lot coverage. Is that correct? If it's 27, the basis was 35 for the lot coverage on that on the property, on that lot? And the building itself is 27. Is that... I'm just making sure I'm tracking with that.
You could look at it that way. I mean, there are, I guess, current zoning requirements with the parking requirements versus not. But in a downtown setting, I know there's numerous lots for hotels that require no parking, such as the property that he owns on Main Street there. He owns the Hampton Inn, and it required no parking. He does have parking there, but that particular lot, due to the zoning location, required no parking.
Okay.
And one of the things that we do want to emphasize, and we did the first meeting that we came to back in November, and we were going to approach it in October when we first came, is due to the location of this, we think a lot of Uber, taxis, those type of vehicles will be bringing guests to and from the hotel. We think with this amount of parking that it will never be full just because of the location and that occurring. And we expect, you know, more of that as we go into the future.
Okay. Questions from the board? Comments?
So the reduction from 15 to 5 is, you said there was a previous reduction to 5 in a previous meeting?
Along the streets, Clinch Avenue, 11th and 12th Street, there was a granted variance to reduce those to 5 feet. We asked for a 0 feet along the alley in previous meetings or variances, and that was not granted. So we went back and studied and grabbed 5 feet, or was able to get 5 feet along the alley on the parking deck and the building.
All right. Any other comment or question?
The only service along the alley is dumpster and some mechanical access, or is there any other service?
Correct. Yeah. We were able, because, again, of the grades along the alley, on one of the plans, you will see a recess, and to keep the dumpster out of sight, out of mind, so to speak, and tucked away, we eroded a part of that building to put the dumpster there, and as well as we have the fire sprinkler room and access there, the electrical room and electrical transformer in that corner for KUB, as well as the back of house laundry facility and some mechanical space on that lower level. So it worked out really well to be able to do those type of things there off the alley, which is very similar to Four Points, but Four Points is further to the west. Mm-hmm. But in meeting with KUB, I know that y'all do not know this, but I met with them to review power requirements, where they would bring in the line, primary line in, and there is a primary line along 11th Street there, the main road, and there's a transformer that sits for the Four Points, and they believe that they may be able to upsize that transformer or keep the existing transformer and bring our power in at that point. So it worked out well. All right. Also, to let you know, so that everybody understands, along Clinch and 12th, we have that power transmission line. And through my meetings with KUB, you have to stay 20 feet from that. So that's why, yes, we were granted 5 feet along that street, but we're not 5 feet there. We are with a patio and planters, but our building is 20 feet for just a small segment, and then the remainder of the building is 30 feet there. So.
Sure. All right, do I have a motion?
I move we approve it as submitted, 1 and 2.
Did I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion and a second. Is there any further comment or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, your motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next up. Let's see, where are we? 1H20VA, 6529 on North Shore Drive. Please state your name and address for the record.
Daryl Johnson, Johnson Architecture, 2240 Sutherland Avenue, Knoxville. Basically, we're requesting a variance.
Daryl, I'm sorry. I need to ask real quick. Are there any city comments?
No comments.
I didn't think there was, but go ahead. Thank you.
Basically, we're requesting a variance to put a sunroom enclosure in the existing location of a brick patio. We started with the HOA and did some sketches for them to get an approval letter from the HOA of the West Chase condominium complex. Once we had the survey completed, it was determined that the existing patio was 5 feet into the peripheral front boundary, which is essentially at the wall. It's a gated and walled community. However, we're not proposing to go any further than the existing patio, and there's roughly 100 feet from the wall to North Shore Drive in this location of green space.
Okay. All right, thank you. Need to ask real quick, is there anyone here in opposition to this variance request? There's not. What is between this patio and North Shore that you're talking about, Daryl?
In the remainder of the setback, it's grass area.
Just grass.
It's just landscaping, yeah.
And that is a, right there, what is that?
That's a 5 foot wall.
5 foot wall. Mm-hmm. A brick wall, stone wall?
It's a brick and stucco wall.
Okay. Comments, questions from board members?
Do you consider this an irregular size lot in terms of the irregular property line?
It's unique, yeah, because the community, I believe, was platted as one community. It's the boundary actually moves in and out as you move around the community. So we're in one location where it happens to be a little bit closer to the okay. to the wall.
Hmm. Any other question? So the you said the neighborhood is plotted. That's an actual interesting thought. So it's not just the slot, but that the line does seem to jog like that, which is an interesting mm-hmm. way that they laid out the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do I have a motion?
I move we approve the variance based on the special circumstances created by the lot line. In fact, the setbacks from the lot line and really the setback from North Shore is exceptionally deep, so I don't see any harm done, and it's, again, special circumstance.
A motion, do I have a second?
Second.
Any further question or comment from the board? All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Did everyone vote?
No, I'm abstaining on that one.
Okay. 4 aye and 1 abstaining. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, I-12 VA. I'm sorry, 1 aye. Can't read. 710 Cherry Street. Name and address for the record, please, sir.
My name is Mark Jendrick. My address is 800 South Gay Street, Suite 1900, Knoxville, 37929.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Are there any staff comments?
Yes, sir.
Just real briefly, I wanted to note for the record that Mr. Jendrick, acting as the attorney for the applicant, and Mr. Holbert, acting for attorney for the opposition, have both included some additional handouts today that will be incorporated into the record. And also, I would ask that my email to both of them as well from January 14th, 2020, also be put into the record as well.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead,
staff,
sir.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Staff comments. that's legal comments.
Yep.
Staff comments. The first variance is being eliminated. The applicant let us know that was no longer needed. And the second variance request, which is the one we'll be hearing today, is essentially legalizing an existing condition. This project meets the threshold of redevelopment in Article 5, Section 7, which means that all parking needs to comply with the current code. But the variance that you're hearing is actually just a current pre-existing, non-conforming legal condition.
Okay, very good. Thank you. 5 minutes, sir.
My turn?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
What we're talking about today, and that's a great illustration up there, what we're talking about today is that driveway on Washington Avenue that back in 1988 was built into this plan as a way to access and ingress and egress for the site. Property fronts on North Cherry Street, that's the primary entrance. Cherry Street at that point is a four-lane road with a boulevard dividing the northbound and southbound travel lanes. It also has a left turn lane cut into the boulevard, allowing northbound vehicles on Cherry Street to turn west onto Washington Avenue. And I suppose my direction should be northwest, but to make it easy, I'm just figuring between Magnolia and the interstate is north. And so that's where when I'm talking about northbound, I'm talking about right across the lanes immediately adjacent to this property, northbound.
Would you like a pointer? Would that be helpful to you?
I've never used one, but I'll certainly
if it's
try.
Helpful to you.
Push the button.
Yes, sir. There you go, right there.
Wow. All right, there we are. That's the boulevard. That's the entrance to the property. The special circumstance involving this site is that people leaving the property cannot travel southbound on Cherry Street other than by trying to pull out, cut across two northbound lanes to get into this left turn lane, and then making a U-turn right there on the southbound Cherry Street. The problem with that is, not only is cutting across two lanes not real safe, but you can't see the southbound traffic as you sit there getting ready to make a U-turn because this is the crest of the hill. So while you might be able to turn left safely, getting out of people's way who might be coming, you can't make a safe U-turn there. To solve all of that, back in 1988, the solution was put this driveway in, let people exit onto Washington Avenue, come down to the traffic light, and turn left to go. Simple solution. It worked. It was legal at the time. It's worked for 30 years. But because of a redevelopment of the site, we've been told we have to go back and get approval for all of this. And now the code requires a variance for that because there's a setback that I think was put in place very recently. So we have to get a variance to continue to use what's been in place and being used for 30 years. It works. To our knowledge, there's never been an issue. And we're hoping that you guys will give us that variance so we can keep going.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else to speak following you or just you, sir?
I don't think anybody from my side, unless you all have technical questions. We've got Nathan Silvas, the engineer here with us. He moved up when I moved up. If we have technical questions or issues, he's happy. Well, he's not happy, but he will address them.
All right, very good. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yep, absolutely. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? We can have up to three speakers at 5 minutes each. Sure, go ahead. State your name, address for record, please.
Kevin Murphy, 4508 Murphy Road, 37918. I'm here on behalf of Scenic Knoxville. And maybe a very fast question. Is this variance applying to the lot line that abuts the residential property on the northeast side as well? Does this variance request also the reduction of the required parking setback to 0.75 feet. Does that also apply to the northeast lot line?
No, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Question answered. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Sir. Please state your name and address for the record.
All right. My name is Glenn Wyatt, and I live across the alley. I live at 2611 Jefferson Avenue. I've been there for about 25 years. I've seen a lot of change in this neighborhood. I've got a vested interest, and I want to thank Ms. Juliana for being so kind and getting stuff out in the mail to me. I'll be 72 next month. I grew up in a city larger than Knoxville. Had a friend of mine one time, he said, you never left the West End. Well, the West End of Louisville is kind of like the East End of Knoxville. It's a mixed neighborhood. Probably most of you people don't live over on that side of town. But it's made a lot of progress. You know, I've dealt with prostitution, trash all the time, and you know, I love that neighborhood. And it's come up that side of town. You know, y'all have got the signs up over there at the corner of Cherry Street and Washington, this historic district. You know, the mayor, the past mayor, and I'm sure the current mayor is proud of that. And when I came up Washington Avenue this afternoon from the west side, my wife and I, we came back from Middleton, Upper Cumberland's. And I came over that hill, and, you know, look at those houses along Washington Avenue. A lot of them are $250,000. Of course, it's a mixed bag in there. You've got some apartment houses and that sort of thing. And now when they, if they approve this redevelopment of this property to expand the size of this thing, these little issues about the variance, putting all that traffic in the alley and putting this big 8-foot fence up, it's just really going to change the neighborhood there. I was there when it was a clinic and there was an elderly black lady that had it. And then at some point, Planned Parenthood moved in. I try to be a good neighbor. I'm out there, you know, hanging up clothes, picking up trash. I pick up stuff that comes out of the parking lot. I even pick up stuff over at Planned Parenthood. And that's not an issue. But when they double the size of this building, and then they talked initially, this variance upstairs, about cutting the parking spaces by half. I mean, if you're over there during the day, sometimes they can't hardly get in and out of there. And there's really not an issue of getting out of that parking lot. They come in on the Washington Avenue side. Some ones coming from Magnolia. They come in on the Cherry Street side. Some of them go out on Cherry Street side. And as the attorney for the planners on this thing, he said they have a hard time turning. They go up and they turn left. There's a turn signal there. They can turn left. They can't cross the median there on Cherry Street, obviously. But if they double the size of this, and then they take the, you know, I know y'all not considering environmental things, and put all this traffic in the alley. The traffic in the alley is for the garbage truck coming through there. I've got an apartment at the back of the lot there. You can see it. If I had a little pointer, you can look right across the alley there. She parks back there in the alley. She straddles that ditch. And anyway, she's back there. And then the garbage truck, it literally has to get up on the grass. There's just a couple of feet there. In fact, a week or so ago after the rains, I got there and shoveled mud up. And if you go out there and take a look at it, that little white spot up there on the corner of the lot where that red line up there on the right, beyond your right-hand corner there, that's the dumpster. They're proposing moving that dumpster down there right across from me. It makes a lot of noise when they come in and out. I don't know what they're going to do, you know. I mean, you're talking about when you see that parking lot up there on the left side of that corner of that building, they're taking that out, and they're going to double the square footage of that building. And then you're going to have that up there where that red line is at the top right there where those empty lots are. They're going to put an 8-foot fence up there, a privacy fence. What's that going to look like? Is this going to be a place for trash and graffiti and all this stuff? I mean, it's just, to me, it's just incomprehensible, you know. And then to put the traffic that's coming in off of Washington Avenue where you see that little white pad there that'll be gone, they're going to move those parking spaces and make them diagonal. They won't be able to back up there, I guess, and get out. So they're going to bring them out to the alley. And the alley's about as wide as three of those desks put together. I say it's not over 10 foot. And the city gets down through the utility poles, and it's just a bad plan, you know. And if just altogether a bad plan. I'm not saying if they need more room somewhere, I'm sure there's other places in Knoxville. If they want to stay there, I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, I'll pick up the trash, I'll rake the leaves, I try to take care of things around the neighborhood. You know, the city gets around with a street cleaner and their crews about once a quarter, but I'll pick it up in the interim. But in the meantime, I live there. You know, it's not a piece of paper. It's not, you know, all this, it looks good on the drawing board. Oh, we can get the traffic to go this way or that way. It's working right now. But when you double the size and put that traffic.
Question 5 minutes, sir, just so you know.
All right. 5 minutes, I think.
We're almost getting there.
Oh, we're almost getting there. Mm-hmm. And, I get kind of wound up. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak. And I felt a little nervous getting up here. But I can answer any questions. I've been there for a long time. When I was out there at the front when 9/11 happened, and I was off that day, I worked downtown at the time, and a lady called me from work, and I was out there working in my front flyer bed. You know, I'm still working on the house. It's an ongoing project, but it's a good neighborhood, and we want to keep it that way. If they want to stay, they can stay, but if they double the size of that thing and the parking flow and push them out in the alley coming around that building,
sure,
it's going to be a big problem.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Did you want to speak, sir? Name and address for the record, please.
My name is Ken Hobart, 1810 Ayler Avenue, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Thank you, Mr. Hobart. Let me ask one question really quick.
Sure.
I may have forgotten. I think, is item number one not a part of our variance anymore on this item?
That is correct.
I completely forgot to mention that at the beginning of our...
I mentioned it.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I did.
Thank
part
you.
Part of my staff
I couldn't
comments.
Remember if that has been said or not. All right, thanks. Mr. Hobart.
I'm not sure I understand that exchange, but that's okay. I hope it's not pertinent to what I have to say.
I don't believe. I'll just tell you, this variance request it was advertised, I believe, with two variances. The first one was to reduce the required number of parking spaces from 15 to 6.
Correct.
And that one is no longer part of what we are hearing today. It's been removed from the request.
That's what I understand.
Yes, sir.
So, which... Mr. Wyatt, I'm not sure I could do any better than what you did. So I would like to incorporate his comments into mine. But council has advised the board, I have provided the board with two separate transmittals in writing. And as I understand, they are a part of the record now. As I'm looking at the drawing on the board there, We're looking at a grassy area on what Mr. Wyatt refers to as the northeast side. Am I correct or incorrect? So what is intended is for all that grassy area to go away. And as it goes away, there's going to be a border wall established. Now, if you own that property on the other side of the border wall on the northeast side, you've virtually taken it as being a viable piece of property for the preservation, as Mr. Wyatt says, of this neighborhood. Essentially, you have blocked the vision of anybody in that residential area. And not only that, you probably, by expanding this, probably generated a whole lot more problems in this area. So you imagine that you have a residential property there, in particular the one on the northeast side. As I pointed out in my comments on the second one, we're talking about maintaining the integrity of a residential neighborhood, and you're wanting to destroy it. And the interesting thing about this, during the course of the comments that were provided at the pre-planning hearing, the conversation was as if that improvement already exists. It doesn't exist. And it doesn't have to be. That's the reality. By putting it there, you're saying to everybody in that residential area, we don't care what you think. We're going to destroy you and what this residential area represents. And not only that, I'm probably, and it may be inappropriate for some of y'all's ears, but let me tell you, the things that go on in that facility, you're just going to compound it. Is that really what you want to do? It makes no sense. So, first of all, it doesn't exist. That improvement does not exist. Therefore, it does not have to be. And particularly with what you want to do to the neighborhood. You're compounding an already controversial issue. Why? For what reason? If they want to expand, as Mr. Wyatt says, there's lots of property in the city of Knoxville or Knox County. Go build there. As a matter of fact, vacate that one if you want to. I'm sure it might be available to some other business that's not in the business of taking the lives of the unborn. I'm in business, let me tell you. I'm not in the business of taking the lives of the unborn. So I wouldn't characterize this as a business, because it's not. They hold themselves out as a provider of health. What do you think they're expanding this building for? Think about it. We know exactly what they're expanding this building for. Is that what this board wants to do? If I were in your position, I wouldn't do that. You have to go to bed at night. If that's what you want to do, you certainly have the authority to do it.
Just 30 seconds, sir, just to give you a warning.
Well, as I pointed out here, you're going to have cars coming in and out of this parking area. You are going to create what I believe, and you're going to compound, or it's already created, it constitutes a public nuisance, and it's going to be compounded. It's going to create an opportunity for activities to take place. Folks, that parking lot has people in it who are angry from time to time. Is that really what you want to do? Compound that area?
We're at 5 minutes, sir. Please.
So, I'm just telling you, this doesn't have to be. That's the reality. Don't presume it already exists. It doesn't. But what might be in the future, you may cause a lot of nuisance, perhaps criminal nuisance, to a neighborhood that it doesn't need it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I would like to make a motion that we allow one more speaker. As we saw, the first speaker really only had a question. It only took about a minute. And it looks like we have one more person that is, that Pastor Clark looks like he's trying to speak or something. So if we need to put in a motion, I would make a motion that we allow a fourth speaker.
Yeah, you would need a motion and a second. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that if you'd like. All in favor?
Aye.
All approved? Yep. Please come on. State your name and address for the record, sir.
Cecil Clark.
Yes, sir.
Pastor True Vine Baptist Church on Washington Avenue. And I want to kind of piggyback just a little bit what has already been said. I've been there for 10 years standing in front of Planned Parenthood. It has devaluated our property. It has devaluated our community. There are harsh people that comes in there and they do a lot of things. And if that building is made bigger, we got bigger problems, not only traffic problems. I'm seeing this. The traffic's going to be more chaotic. Plus, I'm asking, and I'm not trying to cop a plea that this don't happen. We're trying to get that area and get some, a lot of the traffic out and make it a better place. But we cannot make it a better place if you're going to bring more of this stuff in. And sometimes I just kind of think it's disrespectful. Where did it come from in the first place? It came from another part of the town. And they put it in East Knoxville. I think we ought to have respect for each other. None of y'all sitting here on this panel, would you want it in your community? Would you want it in your community? Would either one of y'all want this in your community? Hello?
It is in my community.
Huh?
It is in my community.
Do you want it there?
It's there.
Say what?
It's in my community.
I know. I said, but do you want it there? If you want it there, then I don't think you care much about your community, your kids. Right? That is a dangerous place. Even when I go over there on Fridays, I don't know what these guys be doing around there at midnight. It'd be a guy almost out of his mind coming back and say, hey, I left my jacket here by the sign. Do you know that place is sitting in between two churches? Don't you know that's a disrespect to God? To put a slaughterhouse between two churches? We gotta wake up. Well, I'm just asking that it don't happen, that y'all give us some kind of respect. Give this man some kind of respect. This house been there. You've been there for 20-some years. Hello? And I'm just asking a plea. Like I'm saying, if it's happening, we're just going to have more and more problems. You're creating something that shouldn't be created. Do your best. And I'm asking him. And I'm going to be praying to God that he may move on some hearts, that you really realize what's going on in this place. Do you know that there's murder? Do you know that there's killing? Do you know that there's a killing every day on Cherry Street? And we're looking everywhere trying to stop killing? Come to Cherry Street. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Need to allow for a couple minutes of rebuttal if the applicant would like.
I feel like Holly Warlick following Pat Summitt following those speeches. Just a couple of comments. One for the record, Mr. Holbert said he'd provided two transmittals that are part of the record. I've only gotten one. If there's another, I'd like to figure out how to get it. The other is the border wall, as Mr. Holbert characterized it, I think was actually something, it's my understanding, was something that city codes asked us to incorporate, not something that we came up with. So the folks who were opposed to the fence and the border wall, as it was put up there in the northeast corner, people ought to be talking to codes and not to us about that. We're happy to take them out. That's not an issue. Parking number, parking spaces, using the alley, none of that is what's in front of you today. As a practical legal matter, what's in front of you is the proximity of that driveway to Washington Avenue. And we're asking for a variance to be able to continue using that so folks can safely come and go from that property. Thank you.
So if I'm understanding what's going on correctly, the variance that you're asking for doesn't change anything to the property per se, right? Because it's not that you can, you're not trying to widen the entrance
can I borrow the button?
On Washington.
Yeah. That's it, sir. Yeah.
You're not trying to widen it or narrow it, right?
That's correct. Here's the only
problem
change.
Is, let me see if I'm getting there. The problem is the fact that because it was built with the way it is in 88, because there's some other things you want to do to the property, if you were to do those things to the property, you have to have the current way it is set. You have to have that basically adopted as legal, even though technically it's legal for the way the building is now.
You hit the nail on the head. We've got
but
to get consent.
If you want to adjust the building, it will become illegal, so you would have to have it adopted so you could do, no?
I'm going to ask for Brian and Peter to jump in if I get this incorrect. But as the driveway is right now, it's a pre-existing legal nonconformity. The reason why you have the variance request in front of you today is because of the threshold of development being hit. It's not anything where they would have to remove the driveway if the variance isn't granted. Does that make sense?
I have a question about that. The variance requests the minimum parking setback for parking lots. It doesn't say anything about the driveway in the actual request. Is that irrelevant? It's the driveway, not the parking lot, that's going to be.
So it's part of the vehicular use area. The intent in 2017, I think, is when the updates to the parking section of the zoning code were adopted, and that's when setbacks came into effect. So all of the paving is considered the parking lot. Once we start dissecting the parking lot, we understand there's drive aisles and there's parking stalls and there's terminal islands. There's lots of pieces that make up what we call the parking lot. So in this scenario, I'm going to use my pointer. This area of all of it is considered the parking lot. Now when we start dissecting, we've got parking stalls, we've got a drive aisle, we've got terminal islands at the end. Because they've hit the threshold of Article 5, Section 7, Part A, 2A, when the redevelopment of existing structures exceeds 50% of the value of the property, then parking needs to comply with the entire article. So once they hit that threshold of 50%, we reevaluate the entire parking lot, and we recognized that this area does not meet the setbacks from right-of-way. So that's really the reason you're hearing that today. This was constructed legally. It's legal today, as is. If for some reason they value engineered their project so that the value of the work was 49%, you wouldn't be hearing any of this today. Does that?
So they could expand the parking lot.
Sure.
Without seeking a variance?
It's a true statement.
And they could expand the building up into, they can minimize the amount of the expansion to fall within the threshold.
Yes. There's probably several ways they could reduce the value of the project.
But none of those ways would change the location of that driveway. And whether they exceed that 50% threshold or fall just below that threshold, if we'd like to exceed that because we've got services to provide and clients to take care of. And if we can go beyond that 50% and keep that driveway, that's why we need a variance. The interesting thing to me is, and there's a little disparity in how parking lot is defined. Parking lot is defined in the code as off-street facility consisting of four or more parking spaces, typically including drive aisles, terminal islands, and indoor islands. A drive aisle is defined as a vehicular driving surface directly adjacent to parking spaces. There's no parking spaces right there where that driveway is. We don't think that's a drive aisle. But trying to get along with codes and, you know, go about this the most efficient way we can, we've decided to come forward and ask for a variance. But if you read the code strictly, that's not a drive aisle because it's not directly adjacent to parking spaces. And that's required for a drive aisle. Therefore, that's not part of the parking lot. Therefore, it already meets the setback. I mean, there is no setback because it's not a parking lot. That's a semantic argument. That's a legal argument. That's not before you today. But it looked like there was a question about, that's a driveway. How does that fit into all this? That's our answer to that. We don't think it does. Codes does, so we'll go along with codes.
Thanks, Mr. Jendrick. Any other questions?
I don't have a copy of your letter, Christina. Do you have any extras?
Is it in the sticker?
Yes.
It wasn't printed in your packet, but I did include it almost as a cover sheet going with the letter that Mr. Colbert sent.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to get to my email.
I'll bring it over to you here 1 second.
David, do you want time to read something in that, or can?
If it's short.
Okay.
It looks like it's short. Just want to see. I mean, I hadn't seen it. I just wanted to see if it bears on it.
Just as a general comment real quick, for the sake of our board and just publicly, this board is charged with taking care of issues with the land, issues regarding the land and not with the use of the property. And I think it's just important to note that as some of the comments that were made. I was happy to hear those comments, but they are not comments that we have the authority to deal with as a board. Our authority lies with the land itself and not with its use. So, or, you know, whoever the occupant is of that structure is who the occupant is. What we are here to determine is literally only regarding the location of a driveway, just for clarity. Are there any other comments from the board?
I'd like the opportunity to have staff representing.
Sir, I'm sorry, we're in the board discussion right now. But if you'd like to ask a question, please come to the podium up. We'll let you do that. Would you like to ask a question?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead, but I need your name, please, one more time.
It's Ken Holbert.
Yes, sir.
1812 or 1810.
Keep it quick. Keep it short.
I got one question.
Okay.
Maybe I don't understand number two. He's asking for a setback from 25 feet to 0.75 feet. Where's the setback? Isn't it what he's asking for, a setback off of the northeast line there between the common boundary line between their property and the residential property?
Sure. Peter, can you explain that?
It's right there, sir. It's the existing pavement from the drive or the parking lot setback to the right-of-way right in there at that pinch point.
Well, that's good. So you're not asking for a setback on the north side, on the north of that common boundary line between that residential property and their property?
No, sir.
That's correct.
That's interesting. Well, it doesn't represent that on this on your agenda.
Okay.
That's completely misrepresentative.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you. All right, any final comment or question from the board?
I have a comment. As it's written, this variance request seems like it would apply to the entire northern property line. So it would affect future development. It would permit the parking to be closer in other areas. So it's not, as it's worded at least, it's not specifically for the existing drive aisle only.
So it's worded in that manner because the subject property shares a common frontage with the adjacent residential. Mm-hmm. So there's different languages. There's different setbacks mm-hmm. if the property is adjacent. And actually, I think the language is verbatim out of the code. Parking lots with a common frontage on the same block with residentially zoned property. So that language is just to identify that this property shares there's a common frontage, and it's on the same block as the residentially zoned properties.
Not that the setback is between the property and the residentially zoned area.
One thing that clarifies is if you go to the reference of that variance, it's specifically talking about a parking lot setback from the right-of-way line.
It's basically recognizing that you've got houses on this block, so the intent was and is to push the drive or the parking lot back 25 feet. I guess to recognize that there's front yards mm-hmm. on the same block.
Right, and I'm just saying that to address the current non-conforming aisle. And that alone, we would specify that this variance applies only to the portion of Washington Avenue property line where the aisle currently is.
You certainly could make a motion that is specifically that narrow and tailored to what you just mentioned. That is something the board can do.
Okay.
I'm out of order, I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you go to the last page of the packet, there's a draw. Sorry.
If you go, Mark Gendrick, 800 South Gay Street, Knoxville, 37929. Just trying to help clarify your question, if you go to the last page of the packet, there's a drawing that shows exactly where the area is for which the variance is being requested. And it goes that driveway along Washington Avenue. There you go. Can I have the pointer again?
Yes, sir. I'll tell you what, though. I think we understand at this juncture, and I'd like to actually say let's leave it alone if you don't mind.
It's fine with me.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to help understand where it is and where it goes.
I'm just guessing, but I think the board understands at this point. And I'd like to call for a motion. I'd like to ask for a motion.
I'd like to ask a question.
I'm sorry, sir. We're over questions at this point. I'd like to ask for a motion.
I'm going to speak. And speaking of what I want to say right now,
you're
telling me that they, I
want to
make sure they cannot park on the north line there.
Call for a point of order.
Yeah. Please sit down. Thank you. I'd like to ask for a motion and I'd like to ask for a motion. I'll make one if I don't hear one.
You want to make one? Right?
Go ahead.
I move that we accept the variance as written, and I think
that you approve it.
Approve the variance, yes.
Okay. Okay. That's the motion. Is there a second for that? I'll second that motion. Any further discussion?
I do like the clarification of the... It was confusing, and we're new members, so we're learning here, but that's the way I read it. It was confusing to me.
Sure. Can I, Mr. Clare, can you put the other site plan up there? Okay. So essentially, this portion is existing. It's pre-existing, non-conforming. Actually, it's legal as of today. Okay. With the expansion of the building, they're also... Right. If the building is expanded, they'll have to increase parking. The only area for them is over here on the left side of this property.
The setback shown from the parking that's provided on there is 15 feet, which meets what code requires for setback next to the residential neighborhood.
So. There's the setback from the adjacent residential property. The way the variance is worded is reducing from 25 foot, which would be somewhere up here, down to the most restrictive, which is the pinch point right there. If we provide the clarity and neck it down to just this existing, that would have an effect on this area here. The way it's written, if we address that pinch point, it approves the parking basically along that line as it runs parallel to the right of way. Line. Yes.
We can move forward with a vote, or we can entertain an amendment to that variance approval.
Right, you would, if there is an amendment that the board wants to, you would need a motion to amend, a second, and a vote on that, and then at that point, the motion that's currently on the table would be amended, and then you take a vote on that.
Or we could withdraw that motion and restate the motion?
No, you can do a motion to withdraw and then start over.
Restate. Mm-hmm.
That might be clean.
That might be easier.
I have a question, actually, for clarification, that by adding in the new parking, that would trigger the need to alter the other aisle, or I guess why would the request for variance not be whatever amount is needed on the left-hand side?
Because they hit that 50% threshold, which says we have to evaluate all of the parking.
Okay. I think I need some indication from board members in terms of the comfortability with the current motion or not. I'll call for a vote, I guess. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Aye.
Okay, 3-2, motion carries. Thank you. And I believe there was one that we agreed to put to the end, which was 1E20VA. Is there anyone here to speak to 120E? 1E20VA? Okay, I'm going to make a motion that we postpone 1E20VA to the February...
I believe it might be the 15th. Juliana, is that correct?
The 21st.
Oh, I'm sorry, 21st.
To February 21st meeting of 2020.
I second that motion.
Motion is second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Yep. Motion carries. Thank you. And we are adjourned.
Well done.